Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I want to tell you this first and foremost. I love each and every one of you. And because of that, that's why I've been like during the fellowship of time, just get out of the way, because you don't want what I've been got, done have. Amen? So I try to stay away from you where I'm not right in your face or shaking your hand. That way you might not get this cold. But I do want you to get this word. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. When you're going there, look for Mark chapter 10 as well, verse 17, somewhere in there. So we're gonna leave Hebrews and go to Mark chapter 10, and I'm probably going to reference out of Luke chapter 19. Is that too much for you? I dress real comfortable tonight in case I pass out. I want to be comfortable at the hospital. Amen. Y'all are laughing because I lied to most of you. I say, "Are you doing better?" I'm like, "Yeah, I ain't." But I want to preach so bad. I really don't like not preaching. Amen. I hear pages turning. I'm hoping y'all are there. We started a series, and this is part of it. And it's called "Don't Let the Weight Keep You from Great." All right? Don't let the weight keep you from great. And the great's Jesus. The weight's salvation. The great's salvation. The great's heaven. Amen? And don't let the weight, whatever the weight is. And it can be good or bad. And tonight we're going to preach about some good weight that can be bad. All right? Some good things that can turn bad. And then and show you how one person never accepted Christ, and one person did, and both of them were kind of in the same boat. Had a lot of good stuff, but one was willing to give it up, one wasn't. Y'all ready? Let's get in the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience our race that is set before us." I love when it says we have a great cloud of witnesses. I said this Wednesday night, and you're going to hear some of this over and over because you need to hear it over and over. There are witnesses to watching you walk for the Lord, but they are witnesses. They are not racing. Amen? So that means you don't get to compare yourself to them, and they don't get to compare themselves to you. You just run your race for God. Amen? Too many times as Christians, we compare ourselves to other Christians that are people we believe that are Christians, and the next thing you know, we're in trouble because we are not looking to the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking to our left and right and our brothers and sisters, and we're trying to evaluate whether we're doing good enough or not. It don't matter. If you're doing what God wants you to do, you're doing good enough. Amen. If you're not doing what God wants you to do, you're not doing good enough. That's as simple as it can be. Amen. I just want y'all to see that. Because so many times I've done that in my life. I try to compare myself to other preachers and other ministries and other things. Now, wait a minute. That's not what God called me to do anyway. Why don't I just do what God called me to do? And I could be happy right there, and I can be content in who I am. I love how the Scripture breaks it down in Hebrews. He says, let every weight. Every weight. But then it says, and sin. Wouldn't have you, when I first read that, when it said the weight, I automatically went to sin. Amen? If it hadn't have said, and the sin, then it made me go back to the weights. What are the weights? Then I started, really evaluating the Scripture. It says, you're running a race. Amen? We're running a race. So if you're going to run a race, then you got to start looking and saying, wait a minute, anybody who runs a race, I don't care if you're a sprinter, I don't care if you run a medium race, I don't care if you run a marathon. You know what you don't do when you're running a race? You don't take stuff with you. Not a whole lot of stuff. Maybe some shoes. Maybe some small shorts. And a real small tank top shirt. And that's it. Amen? And that's limited. If you go watch the Olympics, it gets less and less and less. Why? Because them people are trying to get down on time. They want to run faster than everybody. So they're trying to figure out how much stuff I get rid of. I'm preaching. I don't know if you know it or not, but I am. Amen? How much stuff can I get rid of that I can run my race better? And that's what Christ is really asking us to do, is to evaluate what stuff is in our life that's hindering us to run the best Christian race we can run. Man, sometimes That ain't sin. That's good stuff. I mean, the first one I thought about off the top of my head was Abraham. One day God said, let me have your Isaac. No. Amen? Not my Isaac. You blessed me with my Isaac. I would like to keep that. Amen? I've got an Isaac. I've got some stuff in my life that God's blessed me with. But what he's trying to say is, don't fall in love with what I blessed you with more than the one you fell in love with. Jesus. He's in charge. Man. No, the only way, a lot of times, if you'll keep running your race, the more stuff stays in your life. But if you don't watch it, if you fall in love with your stuff, then eventually you're out of the race. It's good, ain't it? Well, I started kind of evaluating this. God started putting two people in my heart. Just, you know, it's like these two racers. But one of them wasn't even in the race. Well, matter of fact, both of them weren't in the race. Go to Mark chapter 10. I feel better already, don't y'all? Praise God. Somebody said, if you just come to church, you'll start feeling better sometimes. I agree with that. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came to him one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Y'all there with me? That's a good entrance, wasn't it? Real good entrance. Running. Amen. Running, kneeling, praising. Running, kneeling, praising. Golly bum. Somebody told me this. Now, don't, if you get upset when I say this word, then it was a friend of mine who told me to say it. He said, this guy was a stud. Can you say that in church? I don't know. Donnie, get with me later and let me know if I could say that. But as far as it goes, man, this guy was the ideal. Oh, so far, early in this thing, he's ideal of what we would want in our church. He's not a bad guy. He's not a murderer. He's not a thief. He's not a liar. Matter of fact, he's running to Jesus. He's kneeling. Amen? And he's saying, good master. He's doing all the great stuff up on the front end. Let me say this. I want to knock it out of part right here. It don't matter how you come to Christ. It's how you walk away from him. And you say, what do you mean walk away? It's how you leave the experience you had with him. If you leave, it don't matter if you came in. I have seen some people who can make you feel like they are super spiritual. I remember one time we went to this revival, and I was preaching a revival down in Georgia, and we took a group of guys with us, and the guy hadn't been in a camp but one day. 2 minutes in, the guy had got out of the row and got in the middle of the aisle on both knees and put his hands back like this. And I went, wow, he's worshiping. Amen? He's worshiping. The next day, he cussed me out. He did. Threatened to kill me and left. I said, what happened to the guy? Last night you were double antennas. You know what I mean by that, right? Double antennas, not one, amen? You're getting good reception connectivity right there. You get both arms, but man, God's like, brrr. You can't do that in church either, can you? I just made fun of people worshiping with two hands. Now we'll never have two-handed worship in our services. Pastor's watching. He said they had both hands up. That's double antennas. Well, I mean, I was like, man, you were on both hands and knees and praise God. Yeah, but that was last night and you were a bunch of idiots. I'm like, God. It's all about how he came. Amen? It's all about how you come. This man, he looked like a champion. I mean, he comes and he's running. Just perceive this. He's running to Jesus. He's doing it all right. Oh, good master! What must I do to inherit eternal life? I wish God, if it had been me, I would have said, it's not an inheritance. That's not Jesus. He's cooler than that. Jesus is so cool. See, he's not like us. See, we would accept that. We would accept what he'd done. We thought, man, this guy, we need to get him on the ministry team. Amen? We do. We need to get this joker on the ministry team. He is a superstar. Check this out. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Jesus comes back with him with a question and clarifies the whole deal. He says, "You know you're talking to God, right?" Amen? He wanted to clear it up that when you come, you need to write this down. When you come, the actions you're taking and the words you're saying are important. Amen? They're important, and God's listening. Let's go back in teacher mode. Y'all good? I'm going to teach. I'm going to calm down. Teach. Okay. How he presented himself was for himself. Amen? He wanted other people to see him do these things. Amen? Be careful that you're not trying to get other people's attention when you're trying to get a hold of God. Because God can see through somebody, and he says, you'll get your reward for that. And what your reward will be is, great job. Amen? That was powerful. Man, how you ran up, how you kneeled, and how you said, that was awesome. And God and Jesus will still be sitting there going, yeah, but you didn't do that for me, did it for you? And listen to the words. Oh, Master, what must I do? God's clearing this up. So listen, I'm going to be real, because it's the only way I know how to be. When you pray, when you're talking to God, talk to him. Amen? Pray from your heart to him. And I don't care if it sounds as silly as y'all get out. I don't care if you can connect two verbs or two adjectives or two nouns or somebody in here that's an English major goes, God, they are jacked up in how they talk. Because you're not talking to them. You're talking to God. And matter of fact, sometimes I believe we sound so good to each other, but God's going, would you get down to the meat? I could go somewhere with that, but I don't know if we can handle it. I'm just saying, sometimes we are projecting for other people instead of trying to get a hold of God. Because I have known this, when I've got a hold of God, I stop worrying about what other people are thinking, and all of a sudden me and God start having a thing, and when we start having a thing, all of a sudden I disappear into mush, and it's ugly. And people start going, man, well, I thought he was praying. What is he doing? He's weeping and crying and his heart's all over the place. What's wrong with him? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with me. I was trying to get a hold of him, and I got a hold of him. Amen? When you get a hold of God, he's pretty cool like this. When you touch him, a lot of times, yeah, somebody preaching for me. Hallelujah. He'll touch you. Remember that woman, a little woman, she had blood? She touched him. She touched him, but he touched her, right? He says, she's my issues dried up. I thought, God, I don't want to preach everybody. Amen? But listen, I thought I was touching him. I thought I was getting a hold of God, but the whole time God was getting a hold of me. See, she touched him on the outside. Hallelujah. Praise God. He touched him. She touched him on the outside. He touched her on the inside. I like God like that. I touch him on the outside. But he gets me on the inside. I love that inside job stuff. Amen. Somebody said, what's a big deal? Well, when you know him, it's a big deal. When you've been hooked up in the Holy Spirit, it's a big deal. So stop worrying about other people. We don't want to sound cute. We don't want to sound perfect. If it's perfect, then great. But if it ain't perfect, I don't care if it's help me, God. I don't care I don't know what to say. I'm being honest. Whew. That's where God gets in it. That's where God wants to be. But sometimes we can please some people. I'd like to tell you I've never done that, but I have. Amen? I have said some prayers. I have said some things where I thought, man, that's going to get, well, that's powerful. Yeah, it was about as powerful as hitting a ceiling and bouncing back down with the reverberation of my words. But the real power is when the angel carries it onto the throne room and God hears it and then sends one back with the answer. And nobody might not ever see it. Write this down. You might not ever see it. How about them awesome prayers? I've been praying for so-and-so to get saved, and I just ain't going to see it. What if you never see it? But what if it happens? Amen? Is God still faithful? Amen. I love that kind of, never mind. Y'all right? I'm all right. I feel better than I had all day. Y'all ready to get in verse 19? He clarifies the fact that he's God. He wants him to know who he's talking to, that he's talking to God. Listen, I want you to understand one thing. When you're coming to this church, when you're in this ministry, you're dealing with God. This is God's stuff. Amen? We're not just coming up here because we want to have a great church. We'd open up a social club. We want to have something that's spiritual. We want to reach people on a different level. Amen? If people get Jesus from here, they'll get other people to come. Somebody about, how are you getting so many people coming for our church? We offering Jesus. And he's in every part of our church and every one of our programs. That way, when Jesus gets in it, I knew we was going to have a good Awana program when I first came here because the teachers are insistent on presenting Jesus. I got geeked up teachers on Jesus. I don't know if y'all know what that means, but I've got two or three teachers who will meet me on a regular basis who will sit there and go, we got to share the gospel. We share Jesus. I'm like, wow, okay. But they're like, they're on caffeine with it. It's good. Y'all sitting here looking at me. I'm serious. And they're like, we're really believing that these other ones are going to get saved because we're sharing Jesus. That's what we do here. Amen? It's a God thing. We're not just showing up at Flat Top Church wanting people to be a part of something. That way we can cut. We got 200. We got 205. No. If we don't present Jesus to any of them, we're in trouble and accountable for every single number. You want me to say that again to scare the bejesus out of some of you? Can you say bejesus? How many number you got? That's what you're accountable for. So when you got somebody sitting in front of you, you say, well, we got 10, or we got 15, or we got 20, or we got 70. Then guess what? God says, well, you're required for 70 souls. Whew. What'd you give them? What'd you feed them? Let me stop right there and go home. Close. We could do it. Amen? Y'all ready? Can we move on to 19? Is anybody's heart exposed right there? Mine is a little bit. Amen? My heart's exposed right there a little bit. Praise God. I need to take myself more serious when hey, guess what? There's people in here. We gotta bring our A game, which is Jesus. Amen? Verse 19. Golly, Jesus hits him hard right here. Listen to what he says. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. Anybody else disqualified yet? Anybody disqualified? Okay, man, y'all are so great. Okay, let me knock this one out for you. Do not commit adultery. That got me. Do not kill. I've been angry with people for no good reason. And man, I've never killed anybody. But the Holy Spirit says if you're angry with a brother for no reason, you've committed murder already. So I don't know if I've literally killed anybody, but I wanted to. All right. Scott, can you say amen to that? Come on. Amen. I know you, brother. Yes. Do not steal. Oh, man, there's another one. Man, I'd like to tell you I've never stolen anything, but I have. Golly, this guy's better than all of us, John. Well, I mean, maybe not you, but I'm just saying. No, do not bear false witness. You can't lie. Have you ever? Like 1,000. For me, 1,000. All right. But I told a lie or two. Amen? This guy, man, wait a minute. Y'all ain't heard it yet. Honor thy father and thy mother. Wait a minute. It won't come out. It never says honor thy good father and mother, does it? It just says father and mother. Doggone it. I'd like to rat my parents out and tell you how bad they are, but God said just honor them. Amen? So if you got a good mom and daddy and you're not honoring them, that's even worse for you. Amen? But that's the only commandment that comes with a promise, that your days may be extended. So every time I feel like telling my mom off, I'm thinking, man, I want to live a little longer. Hallelujah. Help me preach. Amen? It's true. Amen? Just being honest. Every time I get mad at my dad, I say, well, I can't do that. Dad, I love you. Appreciate you. You're the best. All right, great. How many years, Lord? All right. Y'all good? All right, but listen, y'all ain't going to believe this. Y'all not going to catch this one. It's great. And he answered. Johnny, check this out. This cat's a real deal, man. And he answered and said, Master, All these I have observed from my youth. Stud's right. Kick the stud box. God, I don't know if you can even say that. Can you say it? It's twice now or three. I'm in trouble either way it goes. But look, this guy, he's a rock star. Man, he's keeping all the commandments. I mean, he told God, got it. Good. Anything else, Lord? Hey, man, I'm ready to run my race. Tell me what I got to do. All right? Man, this dude's a good. I mean, I don't know. That blows me away, don't you? This dude just tells him, I got him all covered. God, I love this guy. Then Jesus, beholding, loved him. Underline it. Underline it. You radical Christian, you. Underline it. I dare you to underline he loved him. Because the love we give sometimes is that cotton candy, sugar-coated, false love. Because how we would have loved him, we would have said, can you come to our church? Because we would love to have you. You look good. You talk good. You don't break the commandments. You run worship and praise. Jesus loved him and told him one thing he had wrong. Man, wouldn't that? Man, we dare not tell anybody. We just love them where they're at. Golly, bum! Really? We're just going to let them die out right where they're at? No, sorry, golly. Did I say that out loud? Jesus, behold him, loved him. You notice he didn't correct him and say, no, you broke all commandments. He just loved him and looked at him, beheld him. But listen to what he says. One thing thou lackest. How many? One. Some people are going to miss heaven over one thing. That stinks. One thing thou lackest, go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross and follow me. Let me give you the rest of it. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved because he had great possessions. Man, he had stuff. Man, I know I would want to sign him up. All that and got cash. No, come on. You can't say cash in church either. Doggone it. He's got money. You're like, man, Jesus should have been smart about it and said, you could have helped us with the ministry. You could buy us boats and sandals and stuff, right? I mean, we can get a cart, a donkey. I mean, we don't have to worry about this. Man, I'm tired from the travel. God, come on. Y'all help me. That's true. That's good. Jesus looked at him and said, one thing. Hey, one thing. Now, listen, this one thing's bigger than one thing. It always is, ain't it? Because it was the one thing that he identified himself with. See, sometimes when you get to the root of people's problem and you find out the thing that they identify with and you ask them to get rid of that, it's like asking them to stop breathing. Hey, man, would you stop lying? Wait a minute, my whole identity's in lying. If I had to tell the truth, that means I would have to tell everybody that my whole life is fraudulent and I've been making up stuff ever since I was a kid. Hey, man, stop using drugs. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, I'd have to give up my lean. Hey, man. I meant my gangster. No, sorry. I'd have to give up my personality, my walk, and my talk, and all my jive, and all the stuff that I do, and my street cred, and I have to give up my look, and I have to give up all the stuff. Well, I just want that one thing, because that's the thing that's keeping you out of heaven, is the thing that you identify with more than you want to identify with me. Would you please give up the thing that's hindering you from getting in the race and having life? What is it going to profit you to gain the whole world, yet lose your soul? Man, Jesus, it's a good deal, man. I was wanting to get that heaven and everything, but man, I just can't give up who I am for you. I wish I'd have went to drugs. I wish I'd have went to stuff like, you know, some of the stuff that we do, right? Our jobs and our marriages and our families and our friends, and we don't want to give up too much stuff to serve a God who gave everything for us, right? It was better when I said drugs and alcohol because you, well, and poof, just kick them one more time, right? This guy said, man, I'm out of here. He got up and walked away from Jesus, and Jesus did not stop him. Hey, turn around, we'll make another deal. I don't want you to give up your whole identity, just give up. Well, no, he didn't stop him, he just let him go, right? So let me ask you this: when he first showed up on the scene, does it matter how he left? Now, he did great on the entry, but the exit's terrible. He don't have Jesus. He's not even in the race. Amen. Y'all ready for another guy? I didn't know if I was gonna have enough time. Turn over to Luke chapter 19. I promise I won't preach it all. And maybe. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Luke chapter 19. That's where we're at. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him for who he was, to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thine house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore unto him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to the house, for as much as he is also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Zacchaeus had probably not even a quarter, not even an ounce of entrance that he had, right? He didn't even have the entrance. He didn't run. He didn't kneel. He didn't praise. He just climbed a tree. Amen? He just climbed a tree because he was coming up a little short. I came up a little short for Jesus. Amen? Matter of fact, I think we've all come up short for Jesus. So he looks around and he said, I could make a big deal and cut out in front of everybody and make a big deal and a big spectacle, but I really don't know what to do. I don't want to oversell and underdeliver. Amen? I think I'll just try to see who he is. Amen? So he got in a place that looks foolish. See, the rich young ruler looks powerful. He looks strong. People were like, man, they're applauding at what he did. But Zacchaeus looks like a fool. Because he got into a place that showed his shortness. Amen? He said, I've got to get up in this tree because I can't see on my own who Jesus is. See, I always say it this way. I see it this way. I believe the tree is like an altar. Amen? Because sometimes it's hard to come to the altar because when you walk to the altar, you tell everybody in the congregation, hey, I'm just coming up a little short. And I want to see who Jesus is in my life. So you kind of put yourself out there. When you're walking up to the altar, you're saying, I'm getting in a place where I can see Jesus. And I don't care what you think about me. But then if you get in a place where you can see Jesus, he can see you. You look like a fool to the world, but Jesus can see you. You look terrible to everybody except Jesus in the way he wants it. You look weak. You look insignificant. You look like you're coming up short. But things are about to change. One man walked away sad because he said some things and did some things. He didn't want what Jesus had. This man was seeking Jesus out of his heart. And he wasn't caring what other people thought about him. So Jesus said, Zacchaeus. I love that part. Because Zacchaeus had never told him his name. But Jesus knew him. Jesus knew him. The moment he said in my heart, I'm going to find him. Because, see, we never really find Jesus because he's finding us. He looks out of the whole crowd. Out of the whole crowd. A rich kid. See, the reason I think God gave us these two, because they had a lot of stuff, but we can identify more with these two than we can just about anybody in the Bible as Americans. Because we just about have everything we need. Amen? We're not blind. We're not deaf. We're not crippled. We're not on our way to the grave, most of us. Amen? But I will say this. We can't identify with, we got everything that keeps us happy. And a lot of times we put God on a shelf because we have everything. And the only time we talk to Him is when the stuff don't help us where we need God. Amen? I see a lot of people who spend most of their weekends on a lake, on a boat, or hunting, or out doing all these things, and then they wonder where God is. They're at the hospital. Somebody looking at me said, well, I said, I'm not against boats, I'm not against hunting, I'm not against those things, but I am against it when all of a sudden it becomes God. Amen? Because let me tell you something, God will let you know real quick who He really is. Amen? And when you're begging Him, a lot of times He'll have grace and a lot of times He'll have mercy, but wouldn't you rather know who He is and be with Him all the time? God, I love this. Amen? Zacchaeus, come down from there. Make haste to come down. I don't know how fast he went up the tree, but I know he slid down. Zzz, I love that. There he's walking with Jesus. Now this is a guy who's a tax collector. This is a guy to his neighbors and his friends is an idiot, a thief, and no good. Because when he's walking with Jesus now, they all murmur and complain. Jesus is going to be with a sinner. You doggone right He is. You doggone right He is. I'm a sinner. So what? Amen? It should be a lesson. People are going to talk about me if I'm a Christian. People are going to talk about me if I sell out for Christ. I hate to tell you this. They're already talking about you now. Give them something good to talk about. What's been blessing in my life over the last 10 or 12 years, I finally got to the place some of my critics, some of the people that were hardest on me, are now finally saying, well, you got to give, he's still living right, amen? You got to give him that. I don't think he's that. I don't think he's a preacher or nothing, amen? But you got to admit, he's not the same idiot that he was. I don't care. I'll take that, amen? I'll take that. I know what that really means. I'm really doing good. Amen? Because misery loves company. And if misery will give you a compliment as low as it is, I'll take it. That means I'm jumping a whole lot higher. Because when misery will say, well, she ain't running around doing what she wants. She, you know, never mind. I can't believe it. That's good, amen? They're going to talk about you either way. They, God, can I don't know if I can get away with that, but I'll try. And they saw it, and they all murmured, saying that they were going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Don't you hate they? If I run into they, I'm going to whoop them. Because they ain't never gave me anything good in this life. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Somebody will call you and say, there's some people up here. They don't agree with what you're doing. They just don't like what you're doing. Can I talk to them? Oh, no. They only want to talk to me. Well, you tell them I said, I don't care. Woo! Sorry. Y'all good? They, you know who they are, right? I'm in trouble for saying that. I don't know why. I just love being real, amen? I want the people who've got involvement. The people that are here, amen? The people who are praying. The people who are ministering. The people who are worshiping. The people who are learning. The people who are putting blood, sweat, and tears into this church. That's who we're worried about. Now, if you come to me and say, I don't agree with what we're doing, I'm going to listen. We're going to listen. We're going to understand what you're talking about. Praise God. If you tell me they, well, they can keep on riding by. They can keep on riding by. Well, they don't like what, well, guess what? They can join us, and then they might understand the vision. Oh, man. What's dirty? That's gritty right there, wasn't it, John? You going to give me a ride home? Can't even count on a man for an amen. He moved out of Amen Corner. God. Let's get back to the wonderful thing is his beginning or his entrance wasn't great. But his exit from Jesus is perfect. He said, for today, verse 9, for this day, salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Do y'all see that? Y'all see what happened? He didn't say that salvation had come to you. He said it's come to your house. Man, do you think when he got in that tree, he thought Jesus would be coming to his house? Some of y'all had this experience. You thought when you came to this church or you come to the place where you met Jesus, you thought, well, I'll just go up there and satisfy whatever, right? The next thing you know, oh, Jesus is coming to the house. Amen? I know when Jesus came to my house, you know, things started changing, right? What's going on around here? Jesus is here. Amen? Amen? The place where I got saved is my old house. When I still ride down to Georgia, every once in a while I stop there, we put a cross in the front yard. I call that place Bethel. It's called the place I met God. That's called Bethel. Amen? It's a ratty little place. It ain't nothing much. But every time I pull up to that stop and I see that cross, man, I think, whew, my God. That's the place, man. That's the place where an ignorant, no good man met the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I ain't never been the same. I ain't never been the same. I remember one time I was laying in my backyard there on a trampoline. I was laying up looking. I used to see these crosses in the sky all the time. They would tell me God was telling me I was going to do something else. I don't have to see him anymore. I just trust him now. But somebody told me not to say that, but that's true. I'm going to tell y'all something radical here, so don't leave here and tell people I'm crazy. But never mind, y'all already done that. I was laying there, and I was trying to, God says, you're going to minister to a lot of people. And I said, you're crazy. I said, you're crazy. Me and God talk like that. I don't talk to him. I'm like, you're crazy. I said, God, you got plenty of people. And I looked up, and there's this big cross. You know, I looked at it and I said, that's cool, God. I closed my eyes for a minute and I said, but I don't know. I'm not nobody. And all of a sudden I opened my eyes back up and in this blue part, there was a man-shaped cross shows up. Hands and all, just looked right down at me. And I went, all right, that's a little weird. It's a little much. And I closed my eyes again, and I said, God, is this for real? I opened my eyes back up, and the sky was blue. There was nothing there. No cross, no nothing. I was like, all right, God, I knew I was seeing stuff. And about that time, bam, this thing hits right behind my head. And as I turn, there's a big cross on this side of the sky right there. And it was like I spoke right to my heart and said, God, I'm going to use you a lot. Just trust me. Just trust me. And then from that day forward, I said, God, whatever you want to do. And I'm telling you, out of a single wide trailer in Chatsworth, Georgia, man, I've got to go do some really cool stuff. I have preached to men and places and done things that was pretty cool. And I'm pastoring a church, and half the time, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm being honest. But I've done a lot of things I don't know what I'm doing. But all God says is I'll wind you up. You just keep going. And it'll work out. But just don't stop going. Amen? Just a little old encounter with Jesus in a place where I never thought that he would do what he was doing. It was just like Zacchaeus. My entrance to heaven, it wasn't much. It was in a single wide trailer in a bedroom under a bed where I begged Jesus to save me and forgive me of my sins. Amen? And he did. I traded that for glory. My entrance wasn't good. But when it was done, it was good. So let me ask you a question. How'd you come to Jesus? That's okay. But what have you done since you came to him? What is he doing in your life since you came to him? Are you running the race? or do you got a bunch of stuff that's more important than God is? Because if you got a lot of stuff that's more important than God, tonight is the night that you lay the stuff down and start going after God. And that could be good stuff or bad stuff. We're preaching on good stuff tonight. So you might have a lot of stuff that you think's good, but it's keeping you from running for God. What are you going to do? As we stand, as they come get a song of invitation. Thank you.